We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully my voice will be a little better during this broadcast than it was during yesterday's. But you keep praying for me. The voice will return. Anyway, today we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. I saw the other day where the heat index was over 100 degrees. And besides the heat factor, let me tell you this. Heat has a way of altering the pouring of concrete. You have to know what you're doing when the elements are that extreme. And so if you are facing some issues where you're needing block work or cement work or concrete work done, why don't you call the professionals at Jits Concrete, 536-5804, and they will be able to adjust and deal with the changing elements. And they really do know what they're doing. They're very, very good at what they do. So call Jits Concrete, 536-5804. Just have a couple of more opportunities to invite you out to this weekend, where we will be having our leadership summit on Saturday morning from 9 until 12:30. And then we will be having Duke Matlock also preaching for us on Sunday morning. And then we will not have a Sunday night service. Sunday night, we're going to give our people a chance to catch their breath there again. You know, the older I get, the more I realize the value of taking an opportunity just to catch your breath every now and then. And so hopefully you will get to do that. Let's get into the Word of God today. If we can, we're just going to pick right up where we were yesterday. Verse number 8 repeats something that was in verse number 7. Said, so Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies, you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, no, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. Let's just stop the reading there for just a moment. So it says in verse 7 and again in verse number 8 here in Genesis, the 42nd chapter, that Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. I pray that your life is so transformed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that people will not recognize you. I pray that forgiveness rules and reigns in your heart. I pray that they were so accustomed, that people would be so accustomed to have seen you living in the pit that they won't recognize you when you are sitting on the throne. I pray that they would have a visual perception of you having the robe of favor that you were wearing at that one time. And yet they stole that away, they altered it, they destroyed it, they used it as evidence of your death, but that robe has been replaced by an even greater robe, a robe of authority. Don't allow, and I'll say this again, I truly believe it, don't allow the pain of the past to prevent you from fulfilling the promise that God has made to you. Says over and over again, Joseph recognized his brothers, but they don't recognize him. He recognizes them when they come the first time. He recognizes them when he comes the second time. He recognizes them over and over and over again. And they never make the connection They identify him is as the ruler. But there's something else that is said in verse number 9 that I believe is very important. And that is this: then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. Then Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed about them. It had been so long since Joseph had been a 17-year-old boy and having those dreams. It was recorded in God's word, but there had been so much trauma. The journey had had so many twists and turns that even Joseph no longer remembered the dream that caused such strife and discord between his brothers in the first place. Yes, he had brought a bad report, but it said that they hated him even more because he had a dream, and in that dream they were going to come and bow down to him. I want to ask you today, is there anything that you have forgotten? Anything that God spoke to you, and it's been so long that you said, no, that could never come to pass? Is there anything that God has laid upon your heart and you've set it to the side because of the twists and the turns of your life, the ups and the downs, the disappointments and the offenses? Today I want to ask you to look around. Is there anything that you recognize? You know, on Facebook, every once in a while, people post some things from the town that I grew up in, and they're like, do you remember this landmark? And do you remember this landmark? And do you remember this landmark? And everybody says, oh, I remember that. There's one restaurant that I remember. I don't remember it because the food was so good, but I do remember it because their pie was so good. I remember it because our family used to go there. It was a little drive-in, and we would go there, and I'd remember that. But if you were to go to that place now, that restaurant is no longer there. Time moved forward and the restaurant didn't. I remember places that we used to go for family vacations. Haven't been there in years, but I can still remember them. Now, I do want to tell you this. Remembering things can be tricky business. Every once in a while, we will begin to have discussions as a family whenever I go back to visit my family back home. And it's funny because people remember things differently. Today, I want to ask you not to, whether you remember, when you got in trouble or all of that. I remember more of my disappointments than I remember more of than I do my successes. But I want to ask you today, do you remember the word that God spoke to you? Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember how much in love you were with him then? Because those are things that we are not supposed to forget. And all of a sudden, during this one day when Joseph got up and he went to work just like he had been doing for a number of years, and he had recently transitioned from the buying and the procurement of grain to now he was in the distribution and selling of grain business. And one day he goes, and in the line of customers, he recognizes his brothers. And there is suddenly a connecting point between the moment he's living in as the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan for his life. You see, God has not forgotten you. God has not changed his mind. God still wants to be the one that directs your course, leads you and guides you along the path. He still intends on bringing his promise and destiny to pass in your life. So he begins to deal with them and he accuses them of being spies. You could half understand, that insecurity back in those days. Nations were extremely vulnerable, especially when food was in short supply. Remember, I've told you before that one of the leading wartime strategies in ancient military strategies was if there was no food in the land, then you just cut off that particular city, that particular people group from any food, and you would just starve them to death. You'd just starve them and walk right in. They would come out, surrender, and all that sort of stuff. And so don't think it a strange thing. You can't look at this particular passage with 2015 eyes and say, well, that's just a horrible way to treat people. We don't starve people. And in that day, enemies would come in and assess the food supply and determine the possible success rate they would have if there was a military campaign led against them. And so all of a sudden, they answer and they say, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." Today's broadcast is getting ready to take a little bit of a different turn than what you may have thought. And that is this. These 10 brothers that were there standing before Joseph, whom they had sold into slavery, when they begin to be questioned about the motives of their visit, this is what they thought of themselves. "We are honest men. We are honest men." Think about that. Let's replay how we got to this point, shall we? They were people who ruled their life with jealousy because their brother was favored and they were not. They were abusive. They enslaved their brother, sold him into slavery. And then when it finally dawns on them, we've got to give an account. We've got to give a reason to Dad as to what has happened to the brother. Then they create a false image. They go back and they lie to their father, conjure up evidence that leads the dad to conclude that Joseph has been killed. And then instead of confessing and coming clean, they allow their father to live under this false premise for decades. And yet they still have the impression of themselves that they are honest people. I believe that what happens in modern America is very similar. That we focus so much on whether or not we are a good person or not a good person, that we miss out on the reality of, are we a holy people? Are we a holy people? And I will say this, just as much as the recent redefinition of marriage by the Supreme Court is disturbing and troubling, even more troubling than that is man's arrogance to think that he is the one that determines when life begins. That even more than that is man is the one who is trying to usurp and redefine what holy is. I'm interested to read a book. I've got a gazillion books that I've got to read, but one of the books that I hope to read is John Bevere has come out with a book called Good or God. It's, according to my understanding, a book on the holiness of God. And I want you to know today that my standard is not to measure myself by you, or to measure myself by any other person, because I'm either going to fall short in that comparison or I am going to end up feeling good about my comparison. There are so many people who rule their life and the only way they can feel good about themselves is by putting other people down. You know, when I was in my 20s, early 20s, it would be no challenge for me to go out there and play basketball against the young teenagers, the junior hires and stuff like that. but those junior hires became high schoolers. And I'll never forget one of those high schoolers. One night we were horsing around. He picked me up and body slammed me head first down into the dirt. And it was like, ow, that really hurts. By the way, in case you're wondering, dirt doesn't give. It was a life altering moment, because at that point in time, I said, note to self, don't mess with 18-year-olds anymore. And so I began to lower my standard in order to feel good about myself, to the point that now I feel really good about playing basketball against kids that are in the nursery. No, I'm teasing. It's more like fourth grade. No, it's, as I'm telling you that story, you say, Pastor Bob, that's absurd. That is crazy. How can you possibly feel good about yourself when you're measuring yourself against people who are not have the same skill set that you do? And I want you to know that that's just in an athletic realm. It's not really in an intellectual capacity. It's not as far as a spiritual capacity. But there are people who are doing that all of the time. If you ask people in Central Brevard County, are you a good person? They will say, oh, yes, I'm a good person. Let me tell you what they mean by that. I'm not as bad as the person who killed this person. I'm not as bad as the person who embezzled a lot of money. I'm not as bad a person as the person who got caught lying or cheating on their spouse. I'm not a bad person. I pay my bills on time. That's what they mean by that. When they came to Jesus and said, good master, he said, why do you call me good? He said, there is only one good, and that is God. There's only one good, and that is God. And so here these brothers are of Joseph, and they are standing before Joseph, and they are declaring to him who recognizes them, but they don't see him for who he really is. And they say, we're honest men. And at that point in time, I'll be honest with you, if it was me, I would have had a hard time not bursting out laughing. I have a very difficult time controlling my face. If I find something humorous, my face is going to show it. If I find something disturbing, my face is going to reflect it. I'm just telling you that whenever I hear something, it's going to manifest. And if Joseph, by the way, who could understand them but was speaking to them through an interpreter, and they said, we're honest people, I would have had a hard time just not busting out with a belly laugh. But he said to them, no, verse number 12, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest was with our father today, and one is no more. Verse 14, and Joseph said to them, it is as I spoke to you, saying, you are spies. In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. So he says, we've got to find out if what you are saying is true. We've got to ascertain whether this is an accurate statement or not. Right now, I'm inclined to believe that you're spies. But let's find out. We're gonna need to send someone back to your household. We're gonna need that youngest brother of yours to come here. Now, I don't really understand how that made any sense to be valid. But the truth of the matter is that's what Joseph decided. And I will tell you this, the borrower is servant to the lender. The buyer is subject to the one who is selling when they are the only one that has what is necessary. And so with that being said, let me say this. Jesus is the only one who has the offer of salvation. He's the only one that is offering forgiveness. If we will admit that we are sinners, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we need to admit, we need to believe, and we need to confess those things. And so God is the one that sets the terms. We don't set the terms. If we do not like the seller's terms, if we do not like the offer that's on the table, we can walk away. But then if that's the case, I want to ask you the question that Peter asked when Jesus said, when everybody was abandoning him and walking away, are you too going to leave? Are you disciples going to leave me just the way that all these other people have? And Peter said this, to whom shall we go? Who else has the words of eternal life? So if you do not like the offer that Jesus has on the table, where are you going to turn? And what guarantee do you have that that's going to get you to the destination that you think it will? Verse number 17 is interesting to me. He says, all of them were put together in prison for 3 days. All of them were put together in prison for 3 days. You know, it's one thing when you're the one that imprisons and enslaves somebody else. But what about, have you ever put yourself in that person's place? Because that's what happened to the 10 brothers, where Joseph had been in a pit and then sold into slavery. Now they find themselves, all they were doing was going down to the local Publix to buy groceries, and they ended up in prison. I'm sure they're looking around and they're asking themselves, how did we end up in this place? How did we get here? What is going on? This has just taken the most bizarre turn. I don't understand what is going on. Okay, I promise you this story has more questions as we get to it. And so Joseph, he tells them before he puts them in prison that the reason that all of this is going to take place is so that their words will be tested to see whether there is any truth in them or else. Verse number 18, then Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die. So here's Joseph's compromise. 9 of you get to leave. 1 of you is going to stay here. The other 9 of you go home, take your food, and when you get there, grab your youngest brother and bring him to me. That's how I will know that you are telling the truth. That seems pretty simple and straightforward, doesn't it? But guess what? They go back and they report all this to the father. And things are not going well. Verse number 20 says, and they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this disaster has come upon us. All of a sudden, after 3 days in prison, their perception of themselves changed. Before, they thought of themselves as honest people. Joseph said, after 3 days in prison, we're going to find out if your words are true. If you are honest men, do this. And when they get out of prison, this is what they say about themselves. We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this disaster has come upon us. You know what? God had made Joseph forget about his pain and his toils and his triumph. But the reality was those brothers still remembered after all those years. It may not have been in front of their minds every day, but after 3 days in prison, they said this: "We are not honest, we're guilty. We're not honest, we're guilty. We saw how much turmoil and anguish and suffering there was in Joseph's life, and we didn't help him. And now we're reaping what we've sown." One of the things that truly amazes me is whenever there's video evidence, there's tangible physical evidence, there's eyewitnesses, and everybody testifies that this person did something, and then they go into court and they confess this: "I'm not guilty." Can I tell you that when it comes to the throne of grace, that a not guilty plea will get you no place? The only plea that gets the Father's attention is, "I'm guilty. Please forgive me. Please forgive me of my sin. By the blood of Jesus, would you please forgive me of my sin?" Today, there may be people who are listening to this broadcast and you think, "Hey, I'm an honest person because I don't lie as much as this other person does." But today I want to ask you, when it comes to standing before the throne of grace, are you really able to declare that you are standing there in perfection and righteousness and in holiness? If not, there is an advocate that you have, and his name is Jesus Christ, who will forgive you of your sins, cast them as far away as the east is from the west, place them into the sea of forgetfulness, and they will be forgiven. It is true that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He remembers what you've done, and he will accuse you till the day that you die. But his accusations lack merit when those sins have been forgiven and covered by the blood of the Lamb. Today, I want to ask you, do you think of yourself more highly than you ought, or are you able to say, "Without Jesus, I am guilty. Without Jesus, I have no hope. Without Jesus, I've neglected those around me that I saw were in need. But today I realize I'm guilty, and I need him to forgive me." Father, I pray that you would forgive every person, every one of us, God, whenever we've looked the other way when we saw someone hurting. God, whenever we have thought of ourselves more righteous than we truly were. Pray for my voice. Hopefully it'll be better tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you then right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."